الحمد لله نحمده ونشكره ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين رحمة الله للعالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. We praise God Almighty for all that He has given us, for His guidance to this great religion that really is a privilege for all of us. It is a privilege. It is a gift. It is a guidance that He gives us to provide the path from the Quran and the Sunnah of the mercy to humanity, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continue to shower from His blessings on the Prophet and his family. And we bear witness that there's no God but the one God, and that Muhammad is the messenger of God, the seal of the prophets and the messengers, and the mercy that was sent to the world. As many people are celebrating the holidays and the winter breaks and the semester breaks and the time off, it's a time for some happiness and some going to shows and movies and amusements, but it's also a time for reflection. It's a time for reflection for where we are. And for some, it is a time for reflecting on some of the calamities and the trials and tribulations that they have suffered this year or throughout the years. And many religious leaders have written about this issue of how to deal with calamity, how to deal with suffering. And some people may ask, why did God let this happen, if they're referring to a certain catastrophe? Or if they're referring to something that happened, is happening to themselves, why did God make me this way? And that is a question that is circling around people actually all the time. So a leading rabbi named Harold Kushner 40 years ago wrote a book after he lost his son. The book was entitled, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. And the issue is, we as human beings try to rationalize everything. And there are many things from the book that we as Muslims would agree upon, but there are other things that Islam would take a different angle, and I would say, actually, Islam would write the complete book on this issue. When you look to the Quran and to the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But let us look to the three categories that this author looked at himself in writing the book. The first category that he looked at is when there is an accident that results in a death of a family member or a friend, or a maiming of a family member or a friend. And he says that people rationalize all the time. That people would say, those who are succeeding the deceased, they would say, I told him to stay home. If he would have done this or he would have done that, that would have never happened. Or maybe he didn't pray hard enough and this is what happened to him. And this happens also when we look at social incidents or incidents of a social sphere, scale, like earthquakes that happen, and there are some people that start saying, well, the earthquake happened because God is punishing them for something they did. And we Muslims should be very weary of that, especially since many of the worst earthquakes are happening in Muslim-majority countries like Turkey and Indonesia, typhoons in Bangladesh, tsunamis. So we cannot get into this rubric of, well, God is punishing them, that's why these accidents happen. There is also the calamity that happens to a person who is not religious And the trauma of that calamity turns that person religious, but to the point of being overzealous, starting judging everybody, acting as if he is the one who's going to be the jury and the judge and the executioner on every little incident. So this is the irrational approach towards these kinds of accidents that happen, unfortunately, in our lives. Because the way the system is built, the way the earth and creation was made, there are incidents that happen. And one thing the author mentioned here that I think is true for Muslims, you know, when they say that an earthquake or a typhoon or a tsunami is an act of God, he says it's not an act of God, it's an act of nature. It is nature that is shifting the tectonic plates on the earth. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it to do that way, but it is nature, an act of nature, because he's saying too often people blame God. It's as if people blame God for something that's happening. And I'll get to that later when we talk about man-made disasters. The second category is when somebody is born with a birth defect, with autism, with not 10 fingers or not 10 toes or something related to a birth defect. And again, people would rationalize that that person is cursed for some reason, or that family is cursed for some reason. And the reality is, now that we know science in many of these incidents, this is a random occurrence based on the combination of recessive genes upon fertilization of the egg by the sperm. And through meiosis, you find these dominant, these recessive genes that create such defects. And the point is that these are seen as if there's a cause and effect when it is actually randomness. The human beings try to rationalize these situations, and there is no rationalization whatsoever. But more importantly, human beings are always asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala why this is happening, why is that happening. And that's okay. Even Ibrahim alayhi salam, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, show me how you give life unto the dead. And Allah responded, have you then no faith? And Abraham answered, yea, yes, but let me see it so that my heart may be set fully at rest. This is in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 260. So even the prophets were always of an inquisitive mind of questioning things. And it's okay to question. It is okay to doubt, because that is where the heart can find a restful solution. If you just discard it and dismiss it, that doubt may grow. So these situations of doubting and questioning are actually okay. And what's also okay is to have sadness and grieving when something happens. For example, when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was holding his baby who had died, Ibrahim, there were tears coming from the Prophet's eyes. It is okay to grieve. It is okay to be sad. It is not okay to tell somebody not to grieve or not to be sad. We do that with our children. We tell them, don't cry. Well, crying is an expression of the pain they're suffering. Rather than looking to the pain, we tell them that they're wrong for crying in the first place. So these are human behaviors that the Quran is telling us, and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, that we should look deeper into these issues and not take a superficial judgment on them. In fact, I am so proud of this Islamic Center of Southern California, because when there is a death of a family member of one of our community members, we go to the funeral site and then we come here together to grieve together with that family member of the deceased. Grieving together is something that is important, and religion tells us that is how we should grieve with others. Have a limit for it, but be around others. And our job is to console and comfort the family member of the deceased. And don't, by the way, don't compare. Like you say, oh yeah, I know you lost your father, I lost my father, and this is how he, da 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 da. We are here to console and comfort the person, not to project our own issues on the situation. but I am proud to be part of the Islamic Center of Southern California Ummah, that is the larger family, whenever a family member of the deceased needs our comfort and consoling. And the Quran also talks about a very important prophet on this issue, and that is Prophet Ayyub. There's a whole series of verses on Prophet Ayyub where he lost his children, he lost all of his agriculture, he lost all of his goods, and he was suffering. There was calamity that was striking the house of Ayyub, to the point that his wife told him, well, if you deny God, if you curse God, and this relieves you from that calamity, do that. And what did Prophet Ayyub do? He turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he cried out to Allah. He says, affliction has befallen me, but you are the most merciful of the merciful. In other words, he's not asking why me, he's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. And that is the right question to ask. We don't ask why me, we ask how can God help me? And later the verses say, وَأَتَيْنَاهُ أَهْلَهُ وَمِثْلَهُمْ مَعْهُمْ رَحْمَةً مِنْ عِنْدِنَا وَذِكْرَ لِلْعَابِدِينَ. And the affliction was removed from him which he was suffering from, and we gave him new offspring, doubling their number as an act of grace from us and as a reminder unto all of all who worship us. Some translators translate mithlahum as double the offspring. Other translators translate the word as people like his offspring. In other words, the larger community. And again, this idea of consoling and comforting people as a community is our responsibility. And it is so important to be around people when there is this kind of calamity and suffering. And Ayyub, alayhi salam, also called unto God and said, behold, Satan has afflicted me with utter weariness and suffering. What is that satanic whisper in these situations? It is a situation when you react with despair or anger, as opposed to dealing with the situation calmly and collectively and coming up with solutions for the situation. And again, Ayyub turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. And when that happened, and the Quran says that Ayyub then was given more offspring, was given people around him, restored what he had gained. And as far as his wife was concerned, this is very important for us. Because sometimes I think people look at Islam and punishment as the harsher the punishment, the more Islamic you are. But the Quran says, as far as his wife is concerned, now take in thy hand a small bunch of grass and strike where therewith. In other words, the law at that time was you whip the person who blasphemed God 100 lashes. The Quran is saying Allah told Prophet Ayyub, in this situation, just take a handful of grass with 100 blades and just brush her with that. In other words, you're fulfilling the oath, you're fulfilling the law, but we don't have to be harsh. And in this situation, the scholars say, because she was reacting out of love for Ayyub. In other words, we always look to extenuating circumstances. It's not this black and white and always being harsh on the situation. So this is the story of Ayyub. The issue is, we are not blaming God for the situation. God does not create the problems. He tells us how to cope with the problems. Like a good teacher doesn't give the students the solution. The good teacher tells his or her students how to solve the problem to reach a solution. The last category, the third, is man-made disasters. Whereas accidents and birth defects and natural disasters create suffering, it is nothing in comparison to the level of suffering from man-made atrocities. Man-made disasters. Hundreds of thousands of people compared to a fraction when we're talking about natural disasters or accidents or birth defects. And that is because God created us free. So human beings have the power to create out of freedom for good or for evil, like nuclear power. You can use nuclear power to have efficient energy that is environmentally useful, or you can use nuclear power to drop on Nagasaki and Hiroshima and kill tens of thousands of people. So we have that choice to be constructive or destructive. And unfortunately, the Quran says many people are destructive. And in Surah 22, verse 40, it says, if God had not enabled people to defend themselves against one another, all monasteries and churches and synagogues and mosques, in all of which God's name is abundantly extolled, would surely have been destroyed before now. And God will most certainly help him who helps his cause, for verily God is powerful, almighty. In other words, this idea of the miracles of Musa alayhi salam, where God parted the Red Sea, we don't know if that's going to happen or not. Chances are those miracles are in the past. Now God is expecting us to fight for what's right, to fight for the helpless, to also seek God's help in dealing with such atrocities. And even the Prophet and the believers, during a time when it was a real trial and tribulation against them, the Quran says, they asked, Meta Nasrullah? Meta Nasrullah? Ala inna Nasrullahi qareeb. When will the help of God come? Indeed, the help of God is always near. So in these kinds of situations, we know that they are as a result of those who are oblivious to God, and corruption has appeared on land and in sea as an outcome of what man's hands have wrought. In Surah 30, verse 41. The issue then is, brothers and sisters, when we are faced with these kinds of calamities, we turn to God for help, and we empower each other to defend those who are suffering at the hands of those who are committing corruption. And lastly, on this issue, the Quran tells us in every situation, there is a direction that we have to take. There is a North Star. And that North Star is in Surah number 6, verse 162. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Behold, and this is a verse that is an imperative. It is telling you to say that. Even though it may not be something that we are at this point, say it. This is our direction. This is our goal. Say, behold, my prayer and all my acts of worship and my living and my dying are for God alone, the sustainer of all the worlds. Udu Rabbakum. Alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulullah. You know, there's so many situations where you see man-made errors and atrocities, and somehow man does not take responsibility. For example, very simple example, people go on Hajj, hundreds, maybe thousands die because there was not proper transportation, scheduling and programming and planning for that, and there was a stampede and they died. And this happened year after year, and all you hear is, well, this is the will of Allah. Yes, it's the will of Allah that unfortunately gave you power and you did not figure it out, but it is your responsibility to save human beings' lives. It is our responsibility never to take a life of anyone, especially of a Muslim, during Hajj for granted. So you can't blame Allah for that. You cannot use the will of Allah as an excuse for your incompetence, for letting people die like that. Secondly, the Quran refers to people who are really causing corruption and destruction, but they say we're trying to civilize people. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ. When the Quran says, do not spread corruption on earth, we are but reformers. like the reformers of Middle East tyrants saying, we are reforming the situation. Or the colonialists who drink tea and crumpets while they're decimating the indigenous people in their areas. The Quran is pointing the finger at them for that responsibility of the suffering and exposing their hypocrisy for man-made disasters. It is not Allah that wants it. It is, unfortunately, man's hands that has wrought destruction on this earth. And the Quran continues to say they are spreading corruption, but they're not even aware of that. A people that suffered from genocide, but responded to genocide with the most positive and advancing nature of their reaction is the Bosnian people. The Bosnian people faced genocide because they were Muslim. And rather than leaving Islam, now you find more Bosnian people who are getting closer to Islam. This is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the gift of the Bosnian people that we have in the history of the Ummah of Islam. And there are many other Muslim societies, whether it's in the Rohingya or Yemen or the Uyghurs or the Palestinians and Syrians and so on and so forth. There are so many who have preserved, if not increased, their faith, even though they are dealing with injustice over and over again. And it is okay for us to be angry at the injustice. We're not supposed to be angry with each other, but when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Fatiha, غَيْرُ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ, that those who have received his anger, it is that injustice that we should be angry at. It is that indecency of violating human dignity that we should be angry at, that should drive us out of our comfort zone and do something about the situation. God made order out of the chaos of the world when he created the world. Religion is supposed to create order from the chaos, the evil of this world. Then when it comes to an individual case, we have a story I want to tell you about. There's a woman named Diane. She is suffering from cancer. And doctors believe she's going to die within 6 to 18 months. In the 70s, Diane lived in Turkey, in Lebanon, and Jordan. And there, she said, Muslims took care of her. Now, when she is in the United States, where she's from Georgia, from the deep south of Georgia, she's saying she wants to help Muslims by leaving a legacy gift to Muslim organizations. So, brothers and sisters, there is the heroic efforts of these unsung heroes that we now find out later, number one. Number two, it is not one political leader, a national or international leader, who's going to save us. We are going to save ourselves. It is the little people with these stories that are connected, that we tell these stories of how Islam and Muslims have contributed to civilization, have taken care of people, and taken care of our society, and enriching society, that will find our, where we will find our salvation. Instead of asking, why me, we ask, how can I get God's help in helping me? And that way, faith is spread through inspiration, stories, through the common person, not the political leader, comforting one another. This is what people are thirsty for. We are doing God's work. We are witnesses to the truth. So no matter what the odds, no matter how daunting the task, we will continue to work on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. God didn't create problems. He provides us way to cope and solve problems. So instead of asking why me, we should ask, how can God help me? When calamity hits, most people are at a loss, but the good and intelligent people turn to God for help. Mata nasrullah, ala inna nasrallahi qareeb. Oh Allah, thank you for bringing us on this Jummah. Please gather our hearts in affection, and we thank you for the privilege of Islam in our lives. And we thank you for the honor of following the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we ask you to forgive all the Muslims of this world, whether they are alive or have passed on. And we ask you to help all the people who are oppressed in our society and throughout the world. And we ask you to be among those who stand up for the truth. And we ask you to be firm against injustice while being merciful towards one another. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.